Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
And welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. We are proudly presented by the on-time experts, keeping you comfortable throughout the upcoming Dallas Stars season. A big time stick tap for listening. We always love talking to Brian Ray, the pre-intermission and post-game host of your Dallas Stars. Him and Sevy do such a good job. So we'll talk to Brian in just a moment. But I also love telling you about the on-time experts. They are now the official HVAC company of the Dallas Stars, as well as the official sponsor now of Spits and Suds. So you guys can feel it. The temp is up and down right now. So now's really the best time to figure out if your HVA system is working properly and if it's ready for this upcoming winter. One of the many reasons I love the on-time experts, you don't have to spend a day waiting around. It's same-day service guaranteed. Sure, they'll give you a small window. And the best part, they update that window for you. I had them out a few Saturdays ago for my master bedroom. The problem is now fixed, and at the same time, they clean my HVAC because, in the technician's words, I can't leave a house until I know I've done everything possible to keep you as a customer for life. So you actually pay less over time. They correctly diagnose your issue, fix it right the first time, 100% satisfaction guaranteed, no excuses, no exceptions. Plus, look, guys, they are supporting local DFW hockey with the Stars, and now this program. Absolutely love it. 5,626 reviews on Google, 4.8 out of 5 stars. That was a restaurant. Of course, you'd make a reservation. So visit theontimeexperts.com, click the Book Now button, or just let them know that you appreciate them supporting Spits and Suds, the Dallas Stars, and local hockey in DFW, theontimeexperts.com. And without further ado, we bring in the greatness of Brian Ray for his debut on Spits and Suds for the 25-26 season. I texted Brian the other day and I said, somebody was nice enough to say, whenever you have Brian Ray on, it's a must listen. He will be doing the play-by-play along with Sevy, something I'm really excited about for the prospects games all weekend long. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm glad you talked to my mother the other day to pass along that fresh sentiment. That was very nice of her to do. But how about you moving up in the world? You got a sponsor lead now you're doing at the top of this thing?
Yeah, like, man.
This, you're blowing up.
Oh, it's been,
it's,
you know,
a good thing. Congrats.
It's crazy, man. Like, I tell people, and I hate tooting the horn of the program, but it's so cool that this is a credit to hockey growing in DFW, Brian, in that our off-season numbers are better than our regular season in October last year. Like, people are starving for this team to start, but they also wanted information. Granted, we had coaching changes. We had a bunch of stuff happening. There's been contracts. But at the same time, it's, like, so exciting to be able to pop the microphone and people are like, give me information.
It's 2025. If you're not patting yourself on the back obnoxiously for your own podcast on social media, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Like, that's podcasting 101, I think,
it is,
today.
It is.
So, yeah.
Stick tap to me.
I'm doing good. I'm glad to jump on here with you. And, you know, you mentioned the prospect games this weekend, which Sevy and I are getting fired up about. And when they were, you know, it's kind of bittersweet because the Stars used to go to Traverse City, Michigan,
yes,
for the Traverse City Prospects Tournament, and I loved that event. It's a beautiful part of the country, but it was so cool to get four or five NHL teams packed into this two-sheet junior-level rink in, you know, on Lake Michigan, and all these hockey people are just gathered, and you're watching all these kids that are going to end up in the NHL and the AHL in some fashion, you know, playing each other at 18, 19 years old. It's kind of a bummer that tournament has dissipated as teams have sort of regionalized these prospect tournaments, but it's also pretty cool that Dallas and Detroit and Jim Neal's connections to that franchise, they get to sort of bring that down here for this year. And then I think they're going to Detroit next year. It's kind of like a college football home and home series set up. But yeah, but it is cool that this now gets to come to Frisco and firsthand for Stars fans.
So if I'm making an over under on Western Hockey League mentions from Seve, I'd say it's at 4 over the weekend. How about you?
Well, 4 over under. You got to go on a half number. So is it 4.5?
Oh, you know what? Yeah, let's go 4.5. Yeah.
4.5. All right. I will. You know what? I'll take the under just to make it interesting with you.
Okay.
So wait, on the weekend or per game? Hang on. Did you say the weekend?
No, on the weekend. I say a weekend total. Yeah.
All right. The weekend total, then it's probably going to be over.
Okay.
That's two games worth that you're feeding him an opportunity to talk about the Western League. Yeah. So it's probably going to be over 4.5 on the weekend.
I'm excited about this. And Sean got me really jacked about this tournament a few years ago. So I've been following it closely. And you're right. Like, these are not just like, guys, these are the people that are the future of the Dallas Stars. And yeah, and yeah, a lot of them aren't going to pan out, but, you know, many are. Any in particular that you're excited to see this weekend?
You know, we just got the rosters this week, and Emil Hemming, who was the first round pick, I think it was a couple years ago now, but he's, I believe, the lone first rounder on the Stars roster. But he kind of has a year of seasoning under his belt, essentially, you know, playing in North America and playing a little professionally. So I am curious to watch him a little bit. The guys that are 18 years old and doing this for the first time, there's a little bit of a deer in headlights aspect. If there's one thing that I've noticed from this tournament, the very first game is actually a blast to watch because it is chaos, train wreck, frenetic hockey, because you have basically put all these youngsters on the ice. They've been together for arguably 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah.
There's no structure. There's no established chemistry. You've got guys that have been primarily power players on their junior team. A handful of them have to figure out how to kill a penalty against another team's, you know, top prospects. And it makes for a lot of chaos, but a lot of entertainment, because all these kids are going on feel, they're going on instinct a little bit. And maybe the few that have played in the tournament and maybe played with some of these guys at development camps, they're going on maybe a little bit of familiarity. But that first game is where you let all the kids out of the playpen, and it's a free for all in a lot of ways, which, you know, if you're a coach, it probably drives you nuts. But if you're a hockey fan, it's really exciting to watch because it can be all over the place.
Well, what about as a play-by-play guy? Because I'll pump your tires for a second. I really like your work. For those that haven't heard Brian, you'll hear him this weekend. I really like your play-by-play work, and I love the chemistry between you and Seve. But pulling back the curtain, as you mentioned, you don't know. This is not like a Stars regular season game where you have the lines and you know that this player is going to be on the left wing, this player is going to be on the right. Basically, essentially, you're getting the lineup just a few hours before the game as far as the lines. And honestly, none of us have really seen in-depth levels of all of these players combined. Mm-hmm. How do you go about that as a play-by-play announcer? Plus, you've had a whole offseason. How do you work your voice up and practice as far as like your nuances? You've had a lot of play-by-play experience, but I am fascinated from a broadcasting standpoint.
There's going to be a little bit of, I'll call it growing pains or a feeling out process for me. It's kind of like when you jump on a bike for the first time in a long time, you're always a little jelly legged and a little wobbly until you kind of get your bearings and you kind of reset your balance again. For me, 10 years in the minors luckily taught me how to deal with some chaos on the ice, because you see a lot more turnover hockey in the ECHL or the old Central Hockey League that I worked in, a little bit less so in the American League, but nothing compared to the NHL. So, I've dealt with chaos. That doesn't mean I'm necessarily comfortable in chaos. I don't think anybody is, but it's in terms of preparing, we were lucky enough that we did get the rosters early. So I have had the rosters already. The other thing for me being a hockey nerd and knowing these prospect games and prospect tournaments a little bit, I had a pretty good idea of what players in the system for Dallas and Detroit to go research and start looking down. So I just kind of used, on the job experience and instinct a little bit to try and get a bit of a head start. And even like a couple of the pronunciations on the Detroit side, luckily I know the American Hockey League PR guy for Detroit's affiliate in Grand Rapids. I shot him an email yesterday. I'm like, hey, you got a pronunciation guide from your last game in the AHL last year. And I think six or seven guys that are in this, in these two games, were in the American League last year. So I had my own little tricks up my sleeve to try and get ahead on some little things like that. In terms of the nuance, for me as a play-by-play broadcaster, I'll probably start at a slightly slower pace when the game begins, because you want to get a little bit of a feel of how the game's going to start, how it's going to go, how chaotic is it going to be in the beginning. Probably a little more so because, there's some butterflies in a lot of those players' stomachs. It's almost, what's the old cliche? Let the game come to me in some ways. And then kind of just build my rhythm, with Sevi within the game. And the beautiful thing is the game's being, it's visual. It's not like I have to describe it on radio where it could be a lot going on. You can let the game breathe. My voice will be an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Because I've actually, I've been doing a lot of yelling over the summer because I play water polo in the off season three times a week.
Amazing.
So I don't know how it hasn't gone through a 2-hour broadcast, but I mean, my voice has been screaming and loudly projecting for three times a week over the last, 3 to 4 months or so.
Right.
So I don't know, maybe it's in better shape than I actually think it is, but it's luckily when you do this for a living, you put your voice in a pretty good position that is, as long as you're taking care of your voice and you're not just screaming, but you're more projecting, you're not putting your voice in a dangerous spot. But I would not be surprised if after this weekend, not my throat felt sore, but maybe my voice just felt a little tired.
Yeah.
Or worn out.
Totally off this. How often do you get kicked in water polo?
How often? What? Say that again.
So like recreationally, like as a kid, I remember if you're like playing in a pool every once in a while, you get kicked, and you're like, man, that kind of stung. So now you're playing water polo and you guys are up against each other. How often do you get kicked?
So without taking this too far off the rails, I would say this. If your body is in the correct position, you're not going to get kicked.
Okay.
I get grabbed and pulled more than I get kicked when I play water polo.
Okay. When has a Gavin Spittle, Brian Ray podcast stayed on the rails? I guess.
Never.
Okay.
Never.
Right, good.
Never. But now we're sponsored and off the rails as opposed to before when it was just you and me.
That's true. That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. So let's get serious. Who's going to play left wing on this Dallas Stars team?
The prospects tournament season?
Honestly, it's been like it's been the hot talk. It's so funny. There's like several things that just pop up. One of the most random ones, and I've had experts to try to dispel it either way. I'm sure Sevi has his opinion. I've asked Luds about it. Left right defenseman. Like that to me is one of the biggest topics on social media. And even though I've had some people that say, you know what, it's not that big of a deal, Dallas Stars fans want that left-right connection. So it is that's a big debate. And the other debate in this offseason is which Dallas Stars forward is going to move over to left wing.
If I had a good answer for you, this would be, you'd be double sponsored if I had a good answer for you. I look at it this way. You have a brand new head coach and essentially a brand new coaching staff, with the exception of a couple people returning. We're wondering who's going to play left wing. We're wondering, okay, what side is Miro Heiskanen going to play on? Because those, that's been such the hot button topic of conversation, especially amongst the diehards the last couple of years. let's get to training camp and let's see what Glenn Gullitson wants to do. I do know in the game of hockey today, you hear so many coaches talk about interchangeable parts.
Yeah.
Now, they're not going to put a defenseman at left wing. They're not going to put somebody who's unable to play the wing at left wing. But there's so much interchanging between forwards in different positions with the way systems and styles of play are run. I think the people we've usually seen down the middle are probably going to go down the middle. But I think of somebody like Sam Steele, and I'm not saying Sam Steele is all of a sudden going to play left wing in the top six, but Sam Steele has been a jack of all trades kind of guy. You know, we've seen a few of those sprinkle through the Stars. I'm giving you a cliche. I'm not giving you a hard answer, but that's one of those details where it's going to work itself out through training camp and through the first couple months of the season. Now, we may also learn they need to go find somebody or something's not quite working, or they need to shift or change something, but there's going to be one way that Glenn Gullitson wants to try this out, and he may tinker. We may see a lot of different bodies at left wing throughout the preseason games. There could be some experimentation going on. So I wish I had a great answer for you. I don't. But for me, just doing this and working in this, when I see you've got a brand new head coaching staff, it's not just left wing and it's not just defensive pairings. There's a few other questions that, one, they need to answer, and two, they're going to experiment with during training camp. That's what I really believe is going to happen here.
In case people missed it, I loved Jason Robertson's answer yesterday. Robert Tiffin quote tweeted it regarding his contract. He said, "We have plenty of time." And I just thought that was so mature of him, and it kind of calms the whole room down as far as like, hey, we have time here. And, you know, basically he said he's a restricted free agent. So, I mean, rather than hit the panic button and say like, well, I don't know, we'll have to see what, like, I just thought the calmness of his answer really will go a long way as far as the, you know, distractions in the room.
Something that there's a few different angles to take on the Robertson saga. And I'm going to try and break this down into a couple of different buckets. So if I get too far off the beaten path, let me know. First of all, let's go back to the summer when, you know, the rumor mill on social media was churning. The Stars are looking to trade. They're calling. It is every general manager's job to know the market value of his players.
Great point.
That doesn't mean they're shopping them. That doesn't mean they're not shopping them. It is their job to know the market value of their players. And I fully believe that Jim Nill knows the market value of his players. When it's somebody like a top line left winger who's in the last year of his contract, that rumor is going to generate a lot more clicks and eyeballs than maybe a bottom six guy or, you know, a rookie in the last year of his entry level deal, you know, stuff like that. So I understand the smoke. I understand the chatter and the rumors, but Jim Nill was doing his job. As for Jason Robertson, it's a great answer. They have plenty of time, but we live in a world now where if you're a player in the last year of your contract, regardless of your status, you get pushed to the top of the line of trade bait conversation.
Sure.
That's it. Just, you have to be in the last year of your contract and that's it. You're automatic trade bait. That's just the world we live in. And as sports fans, as hockey fans, there is no juicier topic than the roster.
Right.
Trades, free agents, lines, pairings. It's a perfect cocktail of panic discussion. The other element to me is I loved the contract that Jim Nill and Jason Robertson signed at the beginning of all this. There was the training camp holdout, all that stuff. But when you looked at that contract, it was 4 years, I believe.
Yeah.
It was fair market value, you know, the 7.5, 7.75, whatever the AAV was. And the salary in the final year of that, I think, was a little over 9.
Yeah.
So that set up a qualifying offer that was very lucrative for Jason Robertson. And so it really sets up of Jason Robertson had the length of this contract to prove he is worth the qualifying offer and more. The Dallas Stars set themselves up to where they had a manageable contract and a manageable qualifying offer based on the production of that contract. And listen, we have 1 year left. It's the quote unquote contract year. I'm super excited to see what Jason Robertson does this season. And it's going to be a big factor in what the next contract looks like for Jason Robertson. You obviously want it to be with Dallas because of how good of a player he's been and how much he has been loved by the fans of this franchise. But he's right. There is plenty of time for this to figure itself out. A lot of times these things will figure themselves out. You know, Jason Robertson can have a say in where this next contract goes based on what he does this season. He can also have a say in where it does not go based on what he does this season. And the whole world's on McDavid watch right now. If he doesn't sign a contract extension by the start of the season, everybody's going to freak out and think he's not returning to Edmonton. But no, there is an entire year left to determine all this. And then just the last, the last detail on all of this, Jason Robertson is a restricted free agent at the end of this contract. So the Stars left themselves a little bit of roster control and player control. They also put the qualifying offer that was a little over $9 million, I believe, in front of Jason Robertson at the end of this contract. Both sides got something that benefited them. Both sides probably didn't get something that would have benefited them, which means it was an excellent contract negotiation. Was the arbiter say, if both sides aren't happy, then the arbiter did the right job? Yeah, the third party did the right job?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's both sides got something out of the contract. Both sides probably left something on the table, which means it was a great negotiation.
Right.
So I totally agree with Jason Robertson. We have a full hockey season to let all of this play out and present a little more information to both sides for what the next contract should look like.
Yeah. You're 10 years in the minors. Neil Graham, a lot of time in the minors. Any interactions throughout the years, or did you guys miss each other?
Actually, the first time I met him was at the Traverse City Prospects Tournament.
Okay.
When I was in the American League, he was still with the ECHL's Idaho Steelheads. So, and it was hilarious because when I met him, I thought he was a player.
I mean, he looks like a player. He looks like he's got that Colin Blackwell look.
I think he's like 35, 36 going on 22.
Yeah.
Like he still looks young, but that was the first time I met him. And I originally thought he was a player, but we never crossed paths in the American League from a co-working standpoint, but met him at Traverse, would see him at training camps. And so every time I saw him, you know, we always would say hello, catch up a little bit. I'm excited for him, obviously, and for him being a former Texas Star moving up in the system, you know, you root for people like that.
Absolutely.
So I think he's got a great coaching staff and experienced coaching staff to learn from. And I'm excited for him to have this opportunity and for somebody that I would imagine wants to be an NHL head coach one day, this feels like the next logical step in progression to getting to that point.
Well, it's also so smart by Jim Nill and Glenn Gulletson, in my opinion, because, you know, Brian, you got two guys that are so familiar, meaning Nasruddin is so well-respected by the current Stars. Then you have Graham, who coached probably a quarter of these Dallas Stars. Mm-hmm. So when they're delivering the message as far as the philosophy of Gulletson and the style, that's going to come with a lot of respect.
Yeah, it's something that I'm really curious about for Neil specifically, and I say this with all my years of experience, having never coached a game of hockey in my entire life, but is it different coaching X's and O's in the NHL compared to the American League or compared to the ECHL? And how often would you have to make adjustments at those two levels compared to the National Hockey League? You know, so if Neil Graham is going to run something like the power play, and does the power play start cold? Does it start hot? You know, there's always ebbs and flows to a special team situation. And Alain Nasruddin knows this, just running a penalty kill. But teams adjust to you, then you have to adjust to teams. And then they will readjust to you, and you have to readjust to them. And just that cat and mouse game, how difficult is that of a transition for any coach, whether, you know, you're a rookie coming out of the American League or whether you're a new assistant with a new team or taking on a new role? That stuff fascinates me.
I
want to take the chance to pick Neil's brain a little bit and see if he'll pull that curtain back a little bit for me, and just how difficult that may be. But that was one of the first things I thought about when they promoted Neal. And I think that's going to be one of the fascinating things to watch this season. Because on top of all that, he has new personnel on the power play as well.
Right.
That he's new personnel for him in a lot of ways. So, yeah. Which has got to be exciting, super exciting. But that's a storyline that is going to be interesting to watch with a new staff.
Well, you know, Stars fans are wondering this following question. Sorry to hit you with the next hard hitting question. Have you gone into your closet and picked your outfits for this weekend?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I have not.
Interesting.
Well, you know what? It's Sevy and I, we were having lunch earlier this week and he asked, I'm like, I'm not wearing a suit. I'll probably go more business casual.
Okay.
It's training camp. It's prospect games. You know, I'm not going to show up in, you know, jeans and a, you know, jacket, like a pullover or something like that, and a t-shirt. Like I'm going to look professional, but I'm probably not going to go full suit and tie. Because I don't think we're not going to have any direct one shots or two shots.
Oh, okay.
I think with this, it's not going to be like a formal broadcast you would see during the regular season. It's going to be very scaled down. So there may be like a shot of us from like across the arena if it presents itself. But it's going to be very scaled down where we're probably the broadcast will probably start as the national anthem is ending. And we're going to roll right into the puck drop.
Okay.
And get it going. So it's going to be, you know what, bare bones, scaled down, all hockey.
I think at the same time, stick tap to Victory Plus for doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, they're giving what Stars fans want. I mean, obviously, I think it's important that as many Stars fans as possible can get out and watch the games because just like when the World Championships were here, you know, you got to fill the arena to have them come back to this area. So, you know, Saturday and Sunday, I'll be there Sunday night. I'm very excited.
Perfect.
Get to see my boy TFNC in net. So I'm just saying that's
you know, I haven't gone back and looked at this. Sevy was telling me when we were talking earlier this week, he scored a shorthanded goalie goal allegedly in his career. And the way I have to go check this. Like I have to go look for the video, but he was telling me that he thinks he scored a shorthanded goalie goal.
Wow.
It had to be when the goalie was pulled. So probably a 6-on-4, but he said the goal, he punched it off the blocker. It hit the boards and ended up in the net.
Wow.
I don't know if that's true. I have to go look. I haven't had the chance to go look this up yet.
Yeah.
I really want to find out if that's how it played out. If it did, I mean, get the video and send it to your parents. That would be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's those little things. And this is kind of like nerd Stars guy in me. But that goalie situation with Remy Poirier playing so well at the end of last year's Calder Cup playoffs. And then you have TFNC coming in with a 3-year entry level contract. You know, fairly high pick for the Stars, but at the same time, Ben Cross is trying to establish himself, and he's a kind of an older goalie. I mean, 26, but you know, so that's kind of an interesting aspect of this tournament as far as, you know, which goalie is going to shine. And by the way, Sean was pointing out how good Detroit is with their prospects. So there is going to be we're talking about the Stars, but there's a lot of NHL talent coming to town this weekend.
Detroit is sending 4 first rounders.
Yeah, there you go.
Down here. Now, when you're a team like the Stars and you've gone as deep as you have in the playoffs and you've made some moves, you know, you're not going to have the first round selections that Detroit has, but Detroit is sending 4 first rounders. They seem to always do well, at least when I've watched him in these prospect games and prospect tournaments over the years. And that is a team that I'm not going to call it a rebuild because I think they're pretty close. I thought last year they needed to go through one more year of missing the playoffs. This is the year that I'm very curious about them in the East. Do they steal a wild card spot and get themselves back to the playoffs? But Yeah, I mean, they've been stockpiling and rebuilding that system, you know, over the last 7 years now, whatever year we are into the Iser plan. But when I looked at their roster, I'm like, okay, four first round picks are coming down for these games, and they're probably going to play in both. They're going to have some guys up front that are ready to do some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one I was curious for them, if we were going to see the goaltender, Sebastian Cosa, we're not. He's not on that roster. But he's after Raymond and after Sider on the blue line, he their goaltender in the American League, it feels like he's the next guy to be a part of that core that they're waiting for.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend. You're going to be on the call. Everyone check out Brian Ray if you're not going on Victory Plus. And, of course, you can see Brian throughout the season doing the television, pre, post, intermission. Amazing chemistry with you and Seve. I'm so glad that they've kept you guys together. My man, as always, amazing appearance.
It's now hockey season has officially started. Now that I've chatted with you, I appreciate it, man.
Ralph Strand just gives me one a quarter, so now I need to negotiate how many Brian Ray appearances I get for the year.
Hey, listen, you know, you got my number. Anytime you want to talk during the season, that's I'm dangerous. Ready to jump on with you guys.
That's dangerous, but I really appreciate it. The greatness of Brian Ray, and thanks to the greatness of the on-time experts for this podcast. Of course, we'll be back with another episode of Spits and Suds soon. Until then, have a great day, everyone.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.